Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Lamed Zayin, Chapter 37. To recap Chapter 36, in the last chapter we learned about divine justice. God is always just in his dealings with humanity. People who are evil, Rishaim, they do get their recompense and are punished. And the good people that suffer, like Iyov, receive torment, not because they sinned, it is not a punishment, but these sufferings are always for the good of the person who is suffering, even though we do not understand it. These were the words of Elihu. Iyov kept on claiming that even though God is so omnipotent and omniscient, all-knowing and all-powerful, he is not dealing justly in the world. So Elihu responded, God is omnipotent and omniscient in a way that is way beyond the knowledge of humans and is beyond the comprehension of man. And God will always act in a just manner. Just man can never evaluate and judge God. In the end of the chapter, Elihu sang a song about the reign and the omnipotence of God. This chapter continues that song and reiterates the idea that God's actions are way beyond human comprehension. Elihu describes God's control of nature and especially the water cycle, emphasizing God's awesome power. Verses 5 to 6. Yar'em el bikolo nifla'ot. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He works wonders that we cannot understand. Kilasheleg yomar heve aretz, v'geshem matar, v'geshem mitrot uzo. He commands the snow fall to the ground, and the downpour of rain, his mighty downpour of rain. Verses 14 to 15. Ha'azina zot Iyov, amod v'hitbonen nifla'ot kel. Give ear to this Iyov. Stop to consider the marvels of God. Hateda b'sum Eloah alehem v'hofia or anano. Do you know what charge God lays upon them when his lightning clouds shine? These descriptions of God's power is trying to show us that it's beyond human comprehension and man cannot do what God can do. So there's such a chasm between man and God. It is also a segue to the next chapters when God will answer Iyov. Elihu suggests a middle ground between the friends and Iyov. Iyov said he is punished unjustly, and there is no justice in the world. The evil and the righteous are treated equally. The friends said, "Oh, Iyov must have sinned terribly to receive the great suffering which he is suffering." Elihu takes a middle ground. It is possible for good people to suffer. It is a way that God uses to send a message to good people and for them to reevaluate their lives and come closer to God. It's possible for good people to suffer, but not as a punishment. We do not understand God, says Elihu, and cannot evaluate him with human qualifications. So all the knowledge that we have is not enough to understand God. Either way, whatever God does, it is for the good of people, even though we people, we humans, cannot understand it. So Elihu emphasizes the difference between man's knowledge and God's knowledge. The huge chasm is so great that it cannot be crossed. verses 22 to 24. Mitzafon zahav ye'ete al Eloha nora hod. By the north wind the golden rays emerge. The splendor about God is awesome. Shaddai lo mitzanuhu sagi koach, umishpat virov tzaka lo ya'aneh. God, we cannot attain to him. He is great in power and justice, and abundant in his righteousness. He does not torment. Here Elihu is saying very clearly that our knowledge cannot reach God, and God is so great in his power, and he's always just, and he's always righteous, and he would never torment someone just for the sake of tormenting, which is what Eov is claiming. Lachen yireuhu anashim lo yire kol chochmei lev. Therefore, men are in awe of him, whom none of the wise can perceive. Which means, again, Elihu is emphasizing, we cannot perceive God, we cannot understand him. So no matter how much we study about God and learn about God, Elihu says, he's just on a different level. The Rambam, Maimonides, explains that because God's knowledge is so different than ours, and we can't talk about God, we can always talk about God only in negative attributes. We can say what he is not, but we really can't totally conceive and explain what he is. To summarize this chapter and Elihu's ideas in general, Eov's mistake is that he attributes to God human attributes. God is beyond a human's comprehension, so a human mind cannot fathom divine justice. A priori, God is a God of justice. And also, God is not forced by any rule to recompense a good person's good deeds, even though we do see in the world that the evil do ultimately fail. It is possible to suffer like Eov, but not for sin. God does bring suffering to humans as a message that ultimately brings people closer to God through a journey of self-discovery. So there is suffering without punishment, but it's a way of God to get man closer to him. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory, in his book To Heal a Fractured World, discusses the book of Eov. There he explains that Eov many times is read with the wrong emphasis. God is not on trial. The real focus is God's trust in humanity, to still believe in God despite seeming injustice. The real way to read the book of Eov is to invert the way it has been understood. The main idea in the book is to focus on God's faith in humankind. Rabbi Sacks also suggests that the whole Tanakh, the Bible, is about this same question. Can humankind build a home for God in their midst? We know God created the world and put humans in a leadership position with enormous free will and power. The real question is, if humans create a world in which God is a central part of their lives, personally, communally, and globally, can humans do that? To put God in the center at all times? The question posed by the Satan, the accuser, in the beginning of the book is this: is there a single individual capable of loving you unconditionally, says the Satan to God, and I'm saying these in the words of Rabbi Sacks, of believing injustice despite the fact that he knows he had suffered injustice? As you, God, look at humankind's injustice and still believe in humanity, Eov does something astonishing, which is a very strong theme in Jewish sensibility. Though Eov defies God, he does not lose faith in him. He wants a hearing from God, and that God should not hide his face from him when he cries out to him in suffering. God is very much the central thought on everyone's mind in the book of Iov. Because we have such faith in God, we can cry out to him and argue with him and question his actions. The book of Iov and this theme was a big theme during the Holocaust. Many Jews asked questions. Why is this happening? How is this happening? Is God still here? But really deep inside, they kept their faith. My grandfather was someone like that. Rabbi Sacks continues, faith does not mean certainty. It means the courage to live with uncertainty. It means having the courage to ask the questions and not let go of God, even though we do not have all the answers. God creates divine justice as only he can. But here on earth, we must create human justice. The meaning of the book of Iov is God's unshakable faith in humankind. The next four chapters are God's response to Iov. Will God reveal to him why he is suffering? What will God's answer be? To sum up what we did so far, Elihu's arguments in the last few chapters. Number one, God is beyond human comprehension and has awesome power. Two, all of God's actions are just and good, though we may not understand them. Three, everyone gets what they deserve in the end, in this world and in the world to come. Four, many times suffering is not a punishment, but a means to journey towards God and towards repentance, and then get closer to God. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks's view of the Bible and Iov is that despite the presence of injustice in this world, humanity has faith in God, and that God created man with free will and majesty that could be used for good and evil. But God has faith in humans that overall they will do the good and the just. In the next chapters, we are going to learn God's response to Iov. Thank you for studying together, L'Ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.